with us. If we could get the children to come up, we'll dismiss you guys to children's church. We have a lot of you guys today. Last week, they're learning about forgiveness this month. And last week, Maria was brought some candy and said, look, things are a little tight, so I'm going to be selling candy today. And she says, they're 50 cents if you'd like to buy some. And, of course, who has money, right? And so they says, well, they made IOUs, for the 50 cents and this and that. And so at the end, she says, you know what, I'm just going to forgive this debt. That was the whole point of the lesson, it wasn't to collect 50 cents. So, and that was a lesson, wasn't it? Praise the Lord.
So they everything.
Yeah, that was good. So y'all don't owe any 50 cents, right? All right. Praise the Lord. God, we just want to lift these boys and girls up to you in the name of Jesus. Watch over them, protect them, keep them safe, teach them your word, and help them walk in your way and in your truth. We love you today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So if you need a Bible, they're there in your seats, under the seat in front of you. And if you don't have a Bible at home, we want to invite you to take that Bible home and make it your own. We want you to have a Bible so you can read it every day. Today we're going to be looking in James chapter 1. We're going to finish a little sermon on turning trials into triumphs, James chapter 1. If you turn in your Bibles to James and you don't quite know where it's at, that's all right. It's all the way to the end. It's almost to the very end. Hebrews, the big kind of a big book, and then 1st and 2nd Peter, then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. If you get there, you're too far. Got to go back a couple pages. James chapter 1, it's kind of hard to find because it's a little tiny book, about five small chapters, about maybe 3 pages in your Bible. What we've been learning about is throughout the Bible, people have learned to turn defeat into victory. They have learned to turn trial into triumph. Instead of becoming victors, many people, there's many examples in the Bible of becoming victims, they've become victors. All kinds of stories throughout the Bible that we've been referencing. And James tells us that we can have that very same experience today. No matter what trials may be on the outside that you're dealing with, no matter what temptations may be on the inside that you're dealing with, through faith in Jesus Christ, you can experience victory. The result of this victory is spiritual maturity. That's the point of all testing, is that we would grow up and become more and more and more like Jesus. So there's 4 imperatives, 4 things that James teaches us in the first 12 verses of James chapter 1. 3 weeks ago, we covered a joyful attitude, how important it was whenever we face trials of many kinds to have a joyful heart about it. We get all sad, and that's our natural reaction when trials face us, right? Our natural reaction is to not be a joyful heart, just to have a joyful attitude, not to give thanks to God. That's our natural reaction. But James tells us that that's what we do need to do, is give thanks to God. And then we looked the second week, 2 weeks ago, if the whole purpose is to have spiritual maturity and we're supposed to do this giving thanks thing, then what do mature Christians do that could maybe help us face trials? And we learned that faith is always tested. That's what a mature Christian would tell us. Untested faith is unreliable faith, that our faith, we go from glory to glory, from everlasting to everlasting throughout our walk with Christ, and our faith gets tested. It helps us go to the next place. We understand with an understanding mind that testing works for us, not against us, and trials rightly used help us to mature as we walk through them. Then last week, we talked about the surrendered will. That plays a part in facing testings and trials. A surrendered will. God will not work in us without our consent. That was the first thing we understood from last week. And finally, we understood that we partner with God in our trials, especially through trials, by having a surrendered will. Surrendered will is critically important. If you want to listen, you missed one of those sermons, or you want to redo one and listen to it again, maybe you're going through something, or maybe you have somebody you want to give one of those messages to, on the back of your communication card, you can check a box and just put 1, 2, 3, or send me all of them. And after today's message, we'll send all the CDs to you. There's no charge for that. We just need your address on the front. Or you can go on the website, and all of our messages are posted online. This today's message will be posted sometime tomorrow afternoon. We sang a song today, and I asked him to repeat it from last week. It's not by might, nor by power, but what? By my spirit, says the Lord. We don't accomplish things. We can't face trials in our own strength. What we have to, the purpose of trials to help us to mature in Christ, it's to help us to learn to rely on Jesus. That's why sometimes you find that you didn't face the trial you're facing today when you first became a Christian. You would have not been able to make it through that, and God knew that. So you faced a little baby trial that back then you thought was insurmountable, didn't you? And now you're facing trials that pale in comparison, but you're learning from all those times when those trials got maybe a little bit bigger, you learn that God came through for you. And now something even bigger happens in your life. And because of all those times that God showed up by His Spirit and delivered you, you're able to get through it. So this week, we want to learn one more aspect of that. How does God come through for us? Well, one thing He comes through for is by asking for wisdom. So that's what we're going to key in on. And not only asking, knowing what to ask for, but how to ask for that is really, really important. That's what the whole lesson is today. So the bottom line is when we are going through God-ordained difficulties, when we are going through God-ordained difficulties, ask and believe God for wisdom. Ask and believe God for wisdom. Let's take a look at that. Let's read that passage of Scripture this morning, James chapter 1. We're going to read all 12 verses, but we're really keying in on verses 5 through 8 this morning. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, count or consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. The sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way with the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Can you just turn that gain down a little bit? I'm getting a lot of echo. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Just mark that last verse, would you? That God has promised to those who love him. Circle love. We're going to talk about that this morning. When we're going through God-ordained difficulties, what should we pray for? If you take your sermon notes out there in your bulletin, there's some blanks to fill in. Here's one of the first blanks. When we go through God-ordained difficulties, what should we ask for? James gives us the answer. We should ask for wisdom. Some here I have that down. Maybe it's right there. There we go. Nope. I don't know. I think I may have the wrong slides on here today. Surrendered will. I don't know. So anyway, We should ask God for wisdom. That's the first blank there in your notes. James has a great deal to say about wisdom. The Jewish people loved wisdom. They were lovers of wisdom, and we can see that through the book of Proverbs and the other wisdom literature that's in the Bible. Someone has said that knowledge is the ability to take things apart, but wisdom is the ability to put things back together again. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. All of us know people who are educated fools, don't we? People that are so educated that they have brilliant academic minds, but they can't solve ordinary everyday problems. My parents had a word for that. They used to say, that person doesn't, you know, is brilliant, but they don't know when to come in from out of the rain. Why do we need wisdom when we go through trials? Why shouldn't we ask God for strength or grace or even deliverance? It's for this reason. We need wisdom so that we will not waste the opportunities God is giving to us to mature. Wisdom helps us understand how to use these circumstances for our good and for God's glory. That's why it's so important for us to ask for wisdom. Not only does it help us navigate through the experience, but it helps us optimize, that's a good word for this, optimize what we are getting out of it so that we can grow up to be more like Jesus, so that we can glorify God as we go through things. On your communication card, there's a next step, and we believe at South Bay Bible Church that the Christian life is a series of next steps. And one of the next steps God might be leading you today on is to ask God for wisdom. And that should be on your communication card, and you can check that box if you want to ask God for wisdom as you go through something. And I'll be praying for you. I'll use that to pray for you this week, that God will give you that wisdom to go through what you're facing. But there's an important facet to just asking for wisdom. We can't just ask God for wisdom. There's another component that James makes clear to us. James not only explained what to ask for, the wisdom of it, but he also described how to ask for wisdom. And the next blank in your sermon notes there is God, ask for wisdom with faith. We are to ask in faith. We do not have to be afraid when we come to God and ask for wisdom. We do not have to be anxious about that request, because God loves to give his children wisdom. The Bible tells us to ask God for wisdom, and he will give it to you. The only prerequisite he puts on this is we have to ask by faith. We have to come to God believing that he will give it to us. He never scolds us for asking for wisdom. He never gets after us. The Bible says, James says in verse four, chapter 4, verse 6, he giveth more grace. He also gives more and more and more wisdom as we need it. The greatest enemy to answered prayer is unbelief. James compares the doubting believer to the waves of the sea, up 1 minute and down the next. When I was probably 5 or 6 years old, I was a scrawny little kid, and my uncle, great-great-uncle, I think, I don't know, he was an old guy, and we used to visit him in West Palm Beach. He had a condo right on the ocean, and we lived on the west coast of Florida in the Gulf side, and the waves, you know, we had waves, but we had little tiny waves. But on the Atlantic side, the waves would get huge. We'd go out to the beach here, and sometimes those waves are ginormous. I mean, I can't even think of a word to describe. They're huge compared to what I grew up with. So when we go to West Palm Beach, that was on the east coast of Florida, and the waves would be enormous compared to, and I taller than me. It was just incredible, and I loved to swim in those. One day I was swimming in those waves, and I got caught in a rip current, and it turned me over and over and over, and I almost drowned that day. But God spared my life and got me out of it. And as I was thinking of this sermon, as I was going through that this week, I went, that's what a person that has no faith is like. That's what someone struggling with unbelief is like. They're up 1 minute and down the next. They're turned upside down and their life is bobbing up and down in the sea, just like I was in that rip current. This is the experience of the double-minded man that James is describing to us. Faith says yes 1 minute, unbelief says no the next. Doubt comes along and says maybe, yes, no. And you live in this oscillation. It is doubt that made Peter sink on the waves when he was walking to Jesus. You remember that story? Some of you may not know that story, but Jesus was sent the disciples off to the other shore. He stayed and prayed. In the middle of the night, they were in the middle of in the Sea of Galilee, the farthest distance between two points, and the storm came out. The waters got rough. The boat was going up and down. They thought they were going to die. These were experienced fishermen. They knew the Sea of Galilee, and they were frightened. And all of a sudden, Jesus came to them walking on the lake. That's what Jesus does. When we have problems, he comes to us walking on our problems. He shows up right in the middle of them. And you're going, man, I feel better. But they didn't feel better because they weren't looking for Jesus. They thought he was a ghost, and they cried out in fear, the Bible says. But then Peter's the bold one. He says, Lord, tell me to come out to you walking on the water. He says, that's pretty neat. Now, 11 other disciples, they stayed on the boat. Peter got out of the boat, and he started walking on the water toward Jesus because Jesus said one word, come. That was it. No long dissertation, no theological explanation, just one word, come. And he got out of the boat and walked on the water. But then the Bible says he saw the wind and the waves, and beginning to sink, cried out. I don't think, now maybe I'm wrong, this is only pastor speculation. I don't think Peter saw the wind and the waves and went splash, because it says beginning to sink. I think Peter saw the wind and the waves and he started to descend slowly. And I think that was a Lord lesson. I think that was a Jesus lesson. I think he got all the way down to his neck or something. I think it got desperate for a second because he cried out, Lord, save me. Not a long prayer, just what Chris says, the finger in the door prayer. I need help right now. We don't need a long prayer. We just need a short one. And Jesus reached out his hand, picked him up, and what did he say? Oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Peter, you were doing, I'm going to give you the Martin version of that. Peter, you were doing so good. Why did you take your eyes off of me? How do you have faith? You keep your eyes on Jesus. But what's our natural inclination? What do we naturally do when we start to sink? What do we naturally do when trials come our way and challenge our way of thinking? I don't know about you, but my natural inclination is to start looking at the trials, to stop taking my eyes off of Jesus. Jason, we have this course he went through. What was the name of that driving course that just came to me? Driver's Edge. If you ever have teenagers and you want an amazing driving school, I haven't found it here, but it's called Driver's Edge. And what it is, it's NASCAR drivers, famous NASCAR drivers that donate their time to this program that teach youth how to drive. And they actually put them in BMWs, which is way cool, right? And they actually have one part of the road that's wet, that's dry. And they take them around this corner at high rates of speed, like you'd be going down the interstate, huge parking lot that they're doing this in. And then they take them around another one where it's wet, and the car spins in 360 like this and spins out of control. Now, you got NASCAR drivers, and I wouldn't want my BMW driven like that, but then they have a whole trailer of tires because that's how many tires they go through that day. But then they teach them how to react to that. Now, this is real training. They're driving. And the next time they go, they tell them what to do right, and they go through, and they go through it again, and this time they don't lose control as they go through that wet corner. Really, really cool training. But one of the key elements they taught them that day, because we got to go watch all day, one of the key elements they taught them was keep your eyes where you want the car to go. Now think about that. When you're driving and you lose control, aren't you usually, they said you have a natural reaction to look at the front of the truck that's about to come at you instead of keeping your eyes where you want the car to go. He says the car will go where you're looking. That has saved, they said, that one thing has saved many, many kids' lives when they get an out-of-control situation. When we find ourselves with Jesus, when we find ourselves in a trial, we need to train ourselves to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's where we want our life to go, right? And if we want our life to go that way, get your eyes. I know your problems are gigantuous. I know you have really big problems. We've had massive, massive problems, and we haven't always been able to keep our eyes on Jesus. Sometimes we had to cry out, Lord, save me, and again, he would come through to us at that moment. But what we've learned is if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we keep our face in the Word. We're going through this, God, what do you want me to do? You want me to ask for wisdom, and you want me to believe? God, help me overcome my unbelief. Maybe I need to confess that to him first. Help me overcome my unbelief, and he'll come through to you at that moment and keep your eyes on me. Don't keep looking at your problems. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You see, fear and faith, they can't live in the same heart. Peter started to look at the wind and waves around him, and he started to be afraid, even though Jesus was just like from here to Jotami. Just like that. Many Christians live like corks on the waves. Up one minute, down the next, tossed back and forth. And this is evidence of spiritual immaturity. And I just tell you that so that you know that, so that you can grow in that faith. Paul used a similar idea in Ephesians 4:14. Write that down. If you should have it down there, you can just circle it. That's a great verse. Then we will no longer be like infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. If we have believing and united hearts, we can ask in faith and God will give us the wisdom that we need. Instability and immaturity go together. Get rid of them both. Ask God and believe God for the wisdom that you need to get through your trials. He'll give it to you. The next step for you, maybe you knew to ask God, but maybe you were asking with little doubt. So maybe your next step today is when you ask, believe, don't doubt. Check that on your card if you need help with that this week, and I'll be praying for you on that. James closed this section, these 12 verses, with a beatitude in verse 12. And we've been talking about that beatitude now for 4 weeks, just mentioning it. I want to kind of dive into it just a little bit because there's some really good stuff there. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. He started, James started, verse 2 and chapter 1, he started with joy, and he's ending with joy. And we talked about outlook determines outcome. This beatitude is a great encouragement because it promises a crown to those who persevere under trial. Paul often uses athletic illustrations in his letters. And James is using the same illustration here with his beatitude. When he talks about the crown, this literally, if you were to look at the word picture that James is trying to give us here, it's the Olympic crown. That's the they used to give away, and it was a bunch of leaves, and they put them on their head, and people worked really hard to get that crown. Even though it perishes, remember Paul mentions it perishes, and we work for a crown that doesn't perish. That's what he's promising us here. So how is this person rewarded? How is he blessed? There's three blessings in your bulletin. I've written them down for you. The first one is he grows in his Christian character. He grows in his Christian character. This is more important than anything else in our life. We need to grow up to be more like Jesus. Romans 8, 28, 29 that we mentioned last week is the whole point of trials, that we become more like Jesus. Second, we bring glory to God. As we go through trials and we learn to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, we bring glory to God by navigating those trials the way he would have us do. And three, by being granted the crown of life when Jesus returns. That's a benefit of going through these trials. First the cross, then the crown. First the suffering, then the glory. God does not help us by removing the test from our life. He helps us by making the test work for us. That's the point of those tests. Satan wants to use the test to tear us down, but God uses the tests that come into our life to build us up and make us more like Jesus. In James chapter 1, verse 12, James uses a very important word. I had you circle it, love. God has promised to those that love him. We would expect James, if we were James and we were writing this, maybe not so inspired by the Holy Spirit, maybe we were having a bad day when we wrote our epistle of James, we might write, the crown of life that God has promised to those who trust him. Or the crown of life that God has promised to those who obey him, right? We might have wrote those. Why did James, inspired by the Holy Spirit, choose the word love here? I'll tell you. Because love is the spiritual motivation behind every teaching in these 12 verses. It's the point of the entire passage. Why do we have a joyful attitude when we face trials? Because we love God, because he loves us. Because we know that he isn't going to harm us through the trials, because he loves us. Why do we have an understanding mind as we go through trials? Because he loves us and he has shared his truth with us. Think about that. God sharing his truth with us, giving that understanding mind to us even before we go through a trial. Why do we have a surrendered will? Because we love him. And where there is love, there is surrender and there is obedience. Why do we have a believing heart when we ask for wisdom? Because love and faith go together. When you love someone, you trust them and you don't hesitate to ask them for help, especially God. Love is the spiritual force behind all the teaching that James gives us in this book. If we love God, we'll have no problem with a joyful attitude. If we love God, we'll have no problem with an understanding mind. If we love God, we'll have no trouble surrendering our will to his. And if we love God, we'll have no trouble believing him when he tells us to ask him for wisdom. But there's another factor involved. Love keeps us faithful to God. The double-minded person is like an unfaithful husband or wife. He wants to love both God and the world. And James has a lot to say about that in chapter 4, verse 4. But here, James admonishes, teaches, purify your hearts in chapter 4, verse 8. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. The Greek word translated purify means make chaste. The word picture here that James is giving us is a picture of an unfaithful lover. The command here is be faithful to God. Don't love God and the world. James 4:4 says, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world, I don't remember the second part. Anybody who chooses to be a friend of the world is hatred toward God. Let's go back to the weaning for a minute. The child who loves his mother, who is sure that his mother loves him, isn't going to have, he's going to get through the weaning process. He's going to start to grow up and realize the love that his mom has for him. The Christian who loves God, who knows that his God loves him, he's not going to fall apart when trials come his way. He's secure in God's love. He is not double-minded, trying to love both God and the world at the same time. Lot was a double-minded man, if you read through that in the end of Genesis. When trials came, he didn't make it through too well. His descendants became the Moabites, wicked, evil people. Abraham was a friend of God. He loved God and trusted God. When trials came his way, Abraham triumphed and he matured and he grew up in his faith. He became the father of our faith. God's purpose in trials is maturity, that perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Another translation says, but you must let your endurance come to its perfect product so that you may be fully developed and perfectly equipped. Isn't that a great promise? If you want to turn trials into triumphs, then learn to love Christ. Cultivate all of this in a love for Christ, a joyful attitude. Have an understanding mind. Give God a surrendered will and possess a believing heart. I want to challenge you today that maybe your next step today needs to be to memorize James chapter 1, verse 12. I love the Beatitudes. And this is another Beatitude that we can add to that arsenal that we have. So I challenge you. Maybe you need to help memorizing. Just check that box. And if you ask God for wisdom, he'll give it to you without doubting. If you ask God to help you memorize Scripture, I've known many people that couldn't memorize phone numbers, nothing. They didn't have a memory for memorizing things. But they asked God to help them memorize Scripture, and he came through every single time. I challenge you, if you need to hide God's word in your heart, and if you need help with that, that's a great passage to memorize, James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. You are a great God, full of hope and wisdom and strength, full of power and wisdom. Every good and perfect gift comes down from you. And Lord, this morning we praise and magnify your name this morning. God, many of us go through stuff. We either just came out of a trial, we're just about to go into a trial, or we're in the middle of a trial right now. And God, we come to you with humility, knowing that apart from you, we can do nothing. But through you, with you, God, by your Spirit, not by our might, not by our power, but by the Spirit of the living God, we can face these trials head on. We can believe God for wisdom, and he will give it to us. You will give it to us every single time. So, Lord, we ask you for wisdom now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, then today that's their first step in faith. Believing God for salvation. Believing God to forgive them for their sin. Believing that I have sinned. Believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin and paid the penalty that I should have paid myself. And that, Lord, if I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin and purchased a place in heaven for me by raising from the dead, then the Bible says, I will be saved. That's the first step of faith. That's the little mustard seed-sized faith that we exercise toward Christ, that we believe in him for salvation. And then, Lord, as we face trials, we can start to grow up from there with a joyful attitude, with a surrendered will, with an understanding heart, Lord, with wisdom. So, God, help us with that. If there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus, I invite you now in the name of Jesus to ask him to come into your heart and life, that he believes, that you believe God, that he died on the cross for your sin, that he rose again from the dead to purchase a place in heaven for you. If you'll confess that with your mouth, believe it in your heart, you will be saved. God, if somebody wasn't saved before that, and they receive that, they believe that, I pray that you would bless them and help them this morning. That you check that box on the back of your communication card that you received Jesus. I especially want to be praying for you. And Lord, we give them over to you in Jesus' name and ask you to put a hedge of protection around them and help them, Lord, walk in life with Christ. Lord, as we go through trials, do the same for us. Put that hedge of protection around us and help us grow and mature in our faith toward Jesus. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Miss Ellen's going to come and give us an update on our missionaries. Praise the Lord.
Cold and allergy season is upon us. So, I have a lot to say, and I'm kind of overwhelmed, so I'll try not to get emotional. We have just cut checks to our missionaries in excess of $480
each. Okay.
God bless you all, and they are so, so
Amen.
Grateful.
Praise the Lord.
And also they tell me they feel your prayers, they know you're praying, and they thank you so much for that support too. One of my most fervent prayers is, God, as you have so richly blessed me, make me to be a blessing to others. And I pray every day. And this morning I thought, that's really kind of at the heart of what we do here when we support our missionary. Because we can't imagine walking out our faith without a copy of God's Word that we can pick up any time we want and read it.
Amen.
We support Wycliffe Bible Translators and Ken and Ann Hong, who are committed to making sure every language group can pick up a copy of God's Word anytime they need it. And because we have these amazing kids that are upstairs in Children's Church that are growing up under the umbrella of God's love, we support Child Evangelism Fellowship and the Good News Club. Because every kid should be able to hear that God so loved you, he gave his only son.
Amen.
That whosoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life. And then I think of the amazing young people we have in this church that are studying to be doctors and lawyers and biologists and teachers, maybe even missionaries or pastors. Young people who honor their parents and respect their elders, and I look in their faces and I see Jesus looking right back at me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how it is outside of the family of God. The second leading killer of death, people 17 to 24 years of age, is suicide. First is accident. And a lot of experts believe that the first is actually suicide because accidents are incorrectly reported. Our young people are taking drugs, they're drinking, they're cutting themselves, they have anorexia and bulimia. They're so desperate for a relationship that they are plugged in 24/7 to social media, seeing things and posting things that we never have. And a couple of months ago, I stepped outside of the store in Riverhead, and I looked over, and there's this bunch of young people, and they're singing about Jesus, and they're hanging out pamphlets, and I can't believe it, because they're right on the street. And I walk over, and I ask them what's going on, and they told me they're from a group called Teen Challenge. Never heard of Teen Challenge. These are a bunch of young people aged 17 and up who strive to meet the challenges that our young kids have, that our young adults have, with a faith-based program.
Amen.
That is a residential program. Now, there are programs out there that make reference to God or a higher power or whatever you want to call it, but this is a Bible-based program where you live and you eat, sleep, and drink the Word of God, and it is transforming lives. And I think of our young people and how blessed we are, how can we not be a blessing? This need in, right here in our community. So I come rushing back here and I look at Pastor and I go, you're not going to believe what's happening with this group of kids. And he goes, oh, you mean Teen Challenge? Apparently, I might be one of the only people who's never heard of Teen Challenge. I guess a lot of people have heard of them. So we got together, we asked the board if this might be a mission that we thought needed our support. And every member of board said it took about 5 minutes to call to mind a young person such as this. Someone who walks, someone who's struggling, and yes, they need our support. So, next week's missions offering will go into entirety to Green Valley, just this one time. A week is better. The first Sunday in April, Teen Challenge will be here. You'll get to meet them. They agreed to be here for both services. So whichever service you attend, they will be here. If you know somebody who's struggling, if you know the parent or a loved one of a struggling young adult, get them here. But it gets better than that. Teen Challenge is going to be here for our block party so that they can reach their fingers into the community. For the people who may not be here on April 6th, but the people who walk in, they will be here for them too. So I said it before, I say it all the time, God is moving. God is moving in this community.
Amen.
And I think of my brother Chris, who uses the word God-sighted. I think that's what I had when I came across those teenagers from Teen Challenge. I think that was the God-sighted at the bottom.
Amen.
So that's what we got going on in the mission world.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Ellen. That's exciting. So we want a big offering for Teen Challenge. That's why we're going to receive one, give them our missions offering next week, and also receive an offering for them after they sing the first Sunday of April. So be a part of that. Our mission at the church, if you're new with us, is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we want you to know that and get that in your hearts. Also, men's ministry is this coming Tuesday, the 25th at 7 o'clock. Dinner is provided for the men, so come and join with us. We have a special singer for you that night, and we also have Ray has a devotional, and so that'll be a great time. We also want to share with you that we have a family fun day, March 30th, next Sunday at 5 o'clock. This is always a huge laugh. Everybody loves this event every year. And this is the last week to sign up. So see Michelle and sign up and share your talent. And then we have a pizza Easter egg packing party. We're going to buy pizza for everybody who comes and pack 5,000 eggs. So how many people do we need to do that? As many as we can get. So on Friday the 4th at 7 o'clock, let's come and help us pack Easter eggs. We're going to have Rotary people here too, and we're going to have a nice time with that. So come and put that on your calendar. Also, the Easter door hanger outreach, 4 times a year, we go out in our community and we put door hangers on doors. Now, I want to brag on you. Last time we had 28 people come, is that right? And we were able to get through those door hangers in less than 2 hours. So we want to invite you all back that came out last time and a whole bunch more to come out. And we're going to try, we're going to do all of those door hangers again on Saturday, April 12th from 10 to 12. So we're going to have a great time that day. And also, we have the block party on April 19th. We have a lot of people have given prizes and stuff. Had 21 vendors that have joined with us and donating stuff to give away. So if you have a business or you know somebody that has a business and they want to donate a prize to give away, we'll promote their business and say, hey, the hardware store down the street's giving away this wagon or whatever, and we'll promote the business and give their prize away. We also want to share with you the youth group. Ellen and Maria have started a youth group on Wednesday nights at 6:30. If you have youth at home, invite them to come. We had 10 men and women. I don't want to call them boys and girls. 10 youth last week. And so we had a great start with that program. And we want to continue that ministry. You can also invite people, neighbors and so on, and ask them to come and join us. Also, Pat is leading the kitchen ministry now. She's actually slipped out to go out there. And we need some women. We're trying to meet women and men to lead up teams each week, so the same person isn't doing it every week, and she's going to oversee that scheduling. So if you're remotely interested in helping, we're going to probably have 2 or 3 people on a team. If you would see Pat and join with her on that. Men, got big coffee urns, so we can use some guys to help with that too. That would be a blessing. And we're having our next orientation for the church orientation on Sunday, March 13th, after the second service at 12:30. It only goes till about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and it's an interesting class. Who took the last one? Raise your hands. Was it interesting? Did you enjoy it? So you can see those people and go, did he put you to sleep? And, you know, you can ask all the important questions. And then on your communication card, you can check the box if you want to attend that. We'll have lunch for you that day. All right. Yes.
If you did not get a T-shirt, a South Bay Bible T-shirt, and you're planning on helping out with the Easter egg event, please see me. I'm going to put another order in. We got a little cheaper for the local guy here. Easter egg is the center where it's in the center. So if you'll see me, they're going to be $10, and if you have a specific size. Otherwise, I'm going to order some small, medium, large, extra large. If you want to make sure you get your size, see me today.
You might want to get two sizes. Pay $20. <I'm just kidding. laughs> Praise the Lord. So if we can get our ushers to come, we'll receive the offering. This is the great opportunity to turn in the communication cards. If you'd fill those out for us. And hey, John, would you lead us the offering prayer? Thanks. Amen.
Thank you for this opportunity to give back to New Orleans. You see this thing that you need to the larger city.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, gentlemen. Praise the Lord. Can I call on you to pray, Russ, for the benediction? All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thanks for coming today. God bless you. You can open them both.